Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
I'm going to invite Gary up. Gary, I met him a number of years ago. I think it was probably about 6 years ago that I met him. I was introduced to him at a pastor's group back when I was at a church in Roeville. And he came in and he had an iPad. I'd never seen many iPads. I thought he was pretty cool, and I got told he traveled a lot and he spoke around the place, but I never really got to know him much in that group. And since that time, I've really seen the way that God has anointed him and blessed him with favor as a prophet in the church. I've seen the way that God uses him to teach, to bring wisdom and revelation through his teaching. I've been encouraged through his teaching and the way God's hand is on his life. But what I've been encouraged most about with Gary is just his heart for God, that he carries God's heart and he just communicates that with such love and compassion as he ministers. And so for me, I'm so excited to have you and your team. And so let's put our hands together to welcome you. School of Prophets. Get that slide up.
Am I on? Mm-hmm. Am I on? Awesome. Fantastic. Yeah, we're going to graduate this coming Thursday. This coming Saturday. We've had the privilege over the last 7 to 8 months of training about 50 students just to love people. Love people through their words. And I'll share more about that tonight about what that looks like. But School of Prophets is a 7 to 8 month course that happens on a Thursday night from 7:30 till 9:45, 10 o'clock, and we just love getting together and just equipping people to love with their words, love with their life, and just change not only their inside but to change their surroundings as well. So if you want more information about that, you can just check out schoolofprophets.org.au. And it'll be great to see if that's something that's burning on your heart, and particularly after tonight, you see yourself as someone who wants to go on that journey with us, then you are so welcome. Amen? Awesome.
I'm going to hand it over to you.
Thanks, Randall. Thanks. You're awesome. Thank you so much. If I can grab that whiteboard, that'd be awesome. We'll just put it here. How's everyone doing tonight? I'm so thankful that you made the opportunity to come out, and it really is a privilege to be able to be here tonight. As Randall said, we met back when he was in Raft, and it was an amazing time, and it's so good to be able to see the transition of you get the privilege to have this awesome guy here. Yeah, if you love Randall, awesome. Rest of you make fun of your own. Awesome. Well, that's all. You can have that. Fantastic. Well, guys, it is a privilege. And, as I said, we just love to love our people with our words. And so I want to tonight sort of lay a foundation, if I can, of really what the prophetic is. And for some people, you might be here tonight and you might be saying, well, Gary, I don't even know what that word means. And so, hopefully by the end of tonight, you won't only get to hear, but you'll get to experience, yeah? Because something I love to see God do is not just bring us into information, but bring us into transformation. And that's what it's about. God wants to change you on the inside so that you are able to change what's around you. It's an inside job. God is, and God's love is an inside job. And when we begin to recognize that it's all about the inside job of realizing that when God changes us on the inside, we have that privilege of being able to change the world that's around us. And I usually find people who have such a crisis here haven't found Christ here. And when you find Christ here, crisis here comes at a minimum. Amen? And so, one of the things that I'm excited about is just training people and encouraging people to just love. Because love is going to change this world. Love changed me. And if love can change me, love can change others. And so I want to encourage us tonight. Can we do that? Yeah. Let's pray. Let's put our hands on our hearts. And I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me. Pray this with me. Father, speak to my heart and change my life. Father, we thank you tonight for this time. And Lord, I pray that my words would become life and spirit. Lord, my words would be spirit and life. As you said, Lord, would bring transformation from the inside. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, man, I was in Perth a couple of, would have been 18 months ago, and I had the privilege of being there. And it was interesting, you know, when someone asks you to do something, and all of a sudden, you actually don't realize what you signed up for. And so they sort of frame it in a way as, hey, could you do this? And they frame it in a sort of way that you, yeah, that sounds great. But then when you actually turn up, you realize it wasn't what they actually framed up. I call that being framed. And so I turned up at this event and they said, hey, we'd love you to come to this event and we'd love you just to just encourage people. And so I said, okay, that's good. And so I rocked up to this event, but I didn't realize this event was a fundraiser for digging wells in Cambodia. And these three girls that I had the privilege of praying and speaking encouragement to when I was there the trip before that, these three girls that, you know, their lives had hit the wall, and through just simple words of love to them, all of a sudden their lives were turned around. And so these girls are taking it on themselves to really be advocates for social justice. And so these girls said, hey, your words changed our lives. Would you come and encourage others? I didn't realize that this was actually a secular event. And so in this event was the cross the spectrum of society. And so, you know, one thing I realized, if God says his love is unconditional, it's unconditional, yeah? I can't put a condition on his love. And so the cross spectrum, which I don't need to name tonight, but there was a cross spectrum of people from society. And so I'm standing there like, you know, I've been framed. I thought this was a church event, when really it was a God event. And so I'm standing there and they said, hey, we'd like to just do a few items. And so this guy was playing, you know, like a bit of a Ed Sheeran sort of set, and these girls got up and did a bit of a Destiny's Child thing, and I'm like, wow, this is amazing worship. And, you know, the Marvin Gaye guy there, and it was like, wow. And then all of a sudden they said, oh, you'll be on about 8:30. And so it came to about 8:00, and I'm standing there thinking, oh, I've got some time, you know, let me just think about this. All of a sudden they said, Gary, you're up. And so I sort of went from, oh my gosh, to, oh my gosh. In seconds. And so I'm just standing there. And as I'm standing there, I just look at people and realize that every person in that place is a canvas that I get the opportunity to paint my words upon their heart. That every person is a blank canvas that I get the privilege of painting color into their life. You know, each and every one of us has that privilege. This world is a blank canvas waiting for someone to paint color into their life. And so this guy's standing in front of me, and so, you know, quite a big guy, and I got the word. It was a place in South Africa. I got this name. So I said it. I can't remember the name, but I said this name to him, and he sort of looked at me, and he goes, that's where I was born. And I said, okay, let me encourage you. And so I just encouraged him, and then I went on to another person, and I just saw the color violet, and I said, I don't know if this means anything to you, and she's like, that's my name. I said, okay. And people are like, whoa. And so from there, all I said was, we have a room on the side. It was about 150 people there. We have a room on the side, and while the event is going on, you know, there's a DJ coming, we're going to be at the room on the side, and if you want a word of encouragement, I want you to come. And so I handed it back to the MC, and as I went to go down to the room, the place cleared, and there's a lineup. There's a lineup against this room. And I'm like, sorry, DJ. And so he sort of looks, and so this lineup happened, and this was about, you know, it's about 9:00. And so I'm in this room with this couple of others, and this will happen tonight. We just love on people with our words. And this one guy came in. And I'm going somewhere with this. This guy comes in and I said, welcome. And he comes right up in my face and he said, are you psychic? said, no. He said, are you a medium? I said, no. So what are you? I said, I'm a son. And he looks at me and said, I don't think I've heard of that religion. I said, I'm a Christian. And he said, okay. So he sits down. And guys, I didn't have any details or anything. I just encouraged him from my heart. What I saw from him. You see, the world can see things for people, but God has given us the privilege. You see, if we believe that God created us, then there is an original design. And you see, life can modify people into misery. Or we can encourage people into the very mission and the very message they're created to be. I must be in the Sunday. And so I just encouraged him, and his head is down like this. And so after I finished, I said, okay, buddy. And he's still like this. And I said, I'm finished. And he's still like this. And I thought, amen. And he's still like this. And I'm thinking, are you okay? Are you okay? And all of a sudden, he lifts his head and there's a tear coming down his cheek. And I said, are you okay? He said, I never felt loved by the psychic, but I feel loved by you. And at that moment, I realized it's all about love. It's all about love. Love changes people. You know, I don't believe in people's kind, but I believe Jesus did when he said all you need is love. And love changes people, yeah? And so we have this privilege of loving people to life and bringing people to the life of love. And so when people say to me, Gary, what is the prophetic ministry all about? Can you give us a verse? Can you give us something from Scripture that really epitomizes what the prophetic ministry is all about? What the privilege we have? And for those that are learning amongst us tonight in Scripture, you might think, you know, well, John 3:16, or you might think, you know, it's 2 Corinthians where it talks about the gifts. But actually, it's all about the start. It's all about the beginning. And so for us tonight, you know, I want to encourage us that this is the privilege that we have. And this is what prophetic ministry is all about, is Genesis 1. And if you've got your Bibles tonight, I'd love you to turn to Genesis 1. If you haven't, then I'm sure we're able to bring it up on the screen. In Genesis 1 in the New King James, it says, in the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. You see, we're talking on a galactic scale. We're talking on a scale that is way outside of Doncaster East. Amen? And so what we have right in the beginning, there was nothing but God. And so let's bring this down. What does this now look like? If this is on a galactic scale, what does this look like on a personal scale? And so I'm going to ask, is it Dee? Dee, why don't you come and join me here? And so in the beginning, God created. You see, we have to recognize in prophetic ministry that God created, that everyone is part of his creation. Everyone is part of his creation. No matter who they are, they're part of the creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But the earth was without form, was void, and darkness was over the earth, over the deep. You see, the majority of people that I meet every day in Coles and in Gloria Jeans and in Woolworths and Aldi, without being biased, and IGA, Super IGA, I'm not sponsored by anyone. And so these people I meet every day, usually I find that there's this place of formless, they're empty, and there's darkness. And so let's take Dee here as an example. All of a sudden I've met Dee and I recognize she's in the place of being formless and empty. She's in the dark about her life. How many people have you met that are in the dark about their life? I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what my life's about. They're in the dark. And so this is what happens. And we meet these people. But you see, a lot of us are in a place of going, oh, I've got my own issues. I've got my own stuff going on. You see, this is what selfless love is about, that I choose to love in spite. Yeah? And so when I meet someone like Dee, all of a sudden I have to recognize from this verse, yes, there might be voidness, there might be emptiness. She might be in the dark. But what does it say in the next part? It says, but the Spirit was hovering. You see, the Spirit of God is always present, no matter what's happening. And instead of seeing the darkness, we've got to see God's potential. We've got to see what He's doing. The Bible says that Jesus only did what He saw His Father doing. How about we choose not to be distracted by what isn't there, but be attracted to who is there? Must mean something? And so all of a sudden I see Dee, and I'm like, okay, God's doing something. And the next part of the verse says this, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. You see, God wants us to turn the light on in people's lives. That's what the prophetic ministry is all about. That's what prophecy is all about, is turning the light on in people's lives. That we get to turn the light on where they feel empty. That we get to bring substance where there's nothing. We get to speak words that turn nothing into something, no one's into someone's. Amen? Let's give it up for Dee. And so in the beginning, God created, and so we realize that we have the privilege of turning the light on in people's lives. And it's through a simple place of encouragement. It's through the simple place of just loving them. Because I want to tell you, life, love, and light illuminates. Yeah? How many people have had one of those days when that substance has hit that thing over there? And we're like, I don't think I can do this anymore. And someone's come up to us and says, hey, bud, bring it in. And all of a sudden, someone hugs us and we're like, oh. Or someone says, hey, man, I like how you dressed today. And you're like, really? Thanks. And all of a sudden, there's this little spark. Ooh. It's called words. Words bring life. You see, the Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Yeah? And so we have the power, we have the privilege to turn the light on in people's lives. We have the privilege of changing people's worlds by our words. In Hebrews it says that by God's word, worlds were formed. What does it look like for us to create worlds in people's lives by our words? You see, the word world literally means place of habitation. We can change people's place of habitation by our words. Yeah? You see, we're all discouraged every day. You have to turn on the news. You know, the biggest terrorists on the planet right now are not ISIS. It's Channel 9, Channel 7, Channel 10. It's the biggest terrorists on the planet. And if you want to be terrorized, just turn the TV on. But if you want to find love, if you want your life changed, I'll tell you, plug in where there's life. Plug in where words are spoken to you that are not froth and bubbles, are not blowing up your nose, but are actually genuinely changing something inside you. You see, it's said of orphans in Romania and Eastern Europe and parts of the world that they die not because they're neglected through starvation and they're neglected through, you know, medical treatment. They're neglected through love. But no one's held them and no one's spoken to them. Friend, how many people in this world are suffering because no one's holding them and no one's speaking to them? And you might be here tonight. And you might be in a deficit of encouragement. You might be in a deficit of words of life because you grew up in a house where you were constantly berated, you were constantly told what's wrong with you. Well, friend, I want to tell you, you've come here tonight for a reason. Because God's love is tangible. Yeah? And so, the prophetic is all about bringing us into this place of encouragement, bring us into this place of life. And so, Gary, what's the playing field here? You know, what's the playing field? Because we all need to know what a playing field is, yeah? I think the detriment comes is when someone comes and says, hey, come on play. And you turn up with your golf clubs and actually they invite you for soccer. Or they invited you to play golf and you turned up in your AFL. And so, you know, it's like, what is the playing field? And so I want to lay that tonight. Is that okay? What is the playing field look like? Because we're going to know what we're playing. We're going to know what we're up for. And so with any game, you know, I'm not going to show. That could be any game. And so coming from the UK, I know some of you thought my accent was from Tasmania, but no, I'm originally from Wales. And so, you know, we're playing. And so, you know, let's call this football or soccer. And so we're playing something. And so we're in this place of realizing that there's parameters. And so in this parameter now is this place that I like to call love. Out here is hate. Out here is discouragement. You know, out here is, you know, a place of, let's use another word. Anyone got another word?
Sorrow.
Good word. And so out here is all these things, but we get to play in this place of love and life. We get to bring people into the game of life, into the game of love. And it's not a game of win and loss, it's a game of win-win. Yeah? And so when you begin to realize that there's actually parameters, there's actually a playing field that we get to play on. And so I want to unpack for us tonight, if I can, what that playing field is. Now, can I get some tissues? I need to wipe that. And so we're going to look at tonight what that playing field is. And so if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Are we getting something tonight? So 1 Corinthians 14:3. This is what Paul says. He who prophesies speaks encouragement, strength, and comfort. Speaks encouragement, strength, and comfort to others. Everyone say encouragement. Everyone say strength. Comfort. Sounds like a recipe to me. Well, it is. We're making pancakes. And so we see here that God has given us three ingredients. Encouragement, strength, and comfort. Yeah? And so when we speak these, we realize that the prophetic lives within the framework or lives within the place of encouragement, strength, and comfort. Nothing else. Paul says in Corinthians, in a new covenant place, in the place of a new covenant environment, the prophetic speaks encouragement, strength, and comfort. And so when you make pancakes, how many people love making pancakes? What are the ingredients for pancakes? Egg, flour, and milk. Nothing else? You know, I don't want to add anything else to that mix. You know, I'm not going to come along, but I feel like adding it. You know, I like mine to be a bit more firm, so why don't I add some concrete? Imagine that going in your Thermomix. And so, you know, you just don't add to it. And for me, I love to cook. Hashtag food is my love language. And so I love to cook. But I find if I add to recipes, if I add to them things that shouldn't be there, then the taste goes right off. And so one day I decided to be a bit bold, and so I thought, you know, this sort of recipe needs some paprika. So I thought, I'm going to go in and into the little spice jar and get some paprika. So I know paprika looks sort of red, and so I went in and I'm making this nice chicken dish, and so I thought, I'll add some paprika because I like a bit of smokiness. So I went in and grabbed the paprika, or what I thought was paprika. And so I come out and think, you know, half a teaspoon now, let's add a tablespoon. So I add this tablespoon of paprika in, and so I'm mixing it up, and for some reason I just didn't decide to taste it. I thought, you know, it looks really nice, you know, visually. And so I cooked some rice and then served it up. And we sat down, me and my wife, you know, you set the mood, the nice candle, put a bit of whatever on the tunes, and you know, you set the atmosphere. You know, it's encouraging, it's loving, it's romantic. And all of a sudden my wife took one bite and flew off that chair faster than Usain Bolt and head for the bathroom. And that's all I heard as she went was, "Are you trying to kill me?" And I said, "What's wrong?" And she's like, "Oh." And I said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "You're trying to kill me." I said, she said, "What did you put in it?" I said, "Paprika." She said, "We haven't got paprika." I said, "Well, what was the red stuff in the spice jar?" She goes, "Cayenne pepper." And so you realize by adding to stuff, you can kill people, yeah? Particularly if you don't know what you're adding. And so that's why for me the prophetic, when we give words, when we release what we feel from God, has to come into this place of encouragement, strength, and comfort. Is what I'm sharing encouraging? Is what I'm sharing going to strengthen? Is what I'm sharing going to comfort? Because I might think it might be encouraging, but it's absolute strength. But we have to ask the question, is this encouraging what I'm releasing? Yeah? And you know, this is the beautiful thing about encouragement, strength, and comfort. This is the beautiful thing of when we stay in our lane, when we stick to the recipe, we get to change the world. And you know what encouragement, strength, and comfort? I remember looking at this verse, and God just, off the page, just showed me this very thing. When you speak encouragement, strength, and comfort over people, they might be in a prison of circumstance. They might be, you know, void, empty, and in the dark. But I'll tell you what a prophetic word. When you go and encourage someone, when you go and strengthen someone, when you go and comfort someone, this is what happens. On the top left-hand corner of your keyboard is what? An escape button. And what's the letters of the escape button? ESC. When you speak a word over someone, you're giving them the escape from their circumstances. You're giving them the escape. You see, the enemy will always try to bring an entrance. God will always bring an exit. Yeah? And so you're bringing the escape. You're bringing the out to their circumstance. And the amount of people that I've had the privilege and seen others have the privilege of speaking over and speaking life to and speaking love, all coming out of this place of love. And so this amazing privilege that we have as believers to change the world with our words comes out of this place of encouragement, strength, and comfort. That we give people the escape. You know, we throw the lifesaver, we throw the buoy or whatever word you want to use, that ring. You know, they're drowning in their stuff. You know, and all of a sudden we get to throw that ring to them, and it brings them life. How many people here tonight have had someone ring them out of nowhere and spoken right into their situation, and they're like, "That's a lifesaver for me"? Yeah? How many people here tonight have actually been the person who's rung someone, and they're like, "I can't believe you're calling me. This is such an unusual thing, but you're going to save my life"? Yeah? I remember, must be about nearly 18 years ago, that through a simple word of encouragement, I saved a friend from taking his life. I just felt compelled to ring him one day, and I called him, and I didn't realize that he was in the moment of going to take his life. And God so clearly spoke to me about just calling him and bringing him out of that place. But you know, friend, I don't stand here tonight as someone that, you know, the grass always grows. Because, you know, back in 2008, my brother took his life. And I didn't get that. I went into a dark, numb place because I'm like, "God, how can you give me a word for a friend, but yet I did nothing for a brother?" And you know, this is the mystery and the tension that we live in. And I had to come to the reconciliation in my heart. I had to reconcile in my heart that even though that happened, that I will never stop loving people with my words. I will never stop reaching out to the one who calls. And friend, I know every one of you in this place, whether you know Christ or you don't, have been in moments where you've seen people during your day and you thought, I wish I had said something. I wish I had done something. Can I encourage you? Don't let that moment pass again. Be the answer to the world's questions. Be the answer to the world's problems. Be the escape to the prison that this world is trying to put us into. Yeah? Am I speaking to somebody?
Yeah.
And so I want to encourage us tonight. The simplicity of a friend of mine says, you know, the genius of God is in his simplicity. And, you know, the genius of God is that he chooses us to be agents of change. He chooses us, sorry guys, not to be Marvel superheroes, but he chooses us to be superheroes, yeah? That we, with our words, get to change people's lives. And I want to invite you tonight into this journey of beginning to discover how your words can change lives. Not through bringing correction to people, not through bringing direction, not to bring opinion, but to bring opportunity. I'll tell you something. Sometimes our opinions can be obstacles. Sometimes what we think God wants to say isn't actually what God wants to say. But when we live in this playing field of encouragement, strength, and comfort, we realize, actually, that's going to be life for them. I'm going to encourage them with that. Because the worst thing that can happen is when I think, well, I think they need to know that. And I frame it up in the box called, I feel God say. Dangerous. Yeah? Because maybe God ain't saying that. But I'll tell you, if something is encouraging, if something is strengthening, if something is comforting, then, you know, it is in that playing field. And so let me talk to you about this, and then we're going to pray. You see, sometimes you get a word, and it could be a word, it's actually, we've got colors here tonight, let's use colors. Only people like color.
Can you use a dark color?
Can I use a dark? I am going to use a dark color. Right at the back there. I see that. Is that better?
Yeah.
Ooh. What's that? Fantastic. My drawing skills. So there's two places of a word. And this is something I learned. Let me tell you a story. I was in Florida and I was at a church and I thought the Lord had given me a word for the church. And so I'm sharing this word and I'm encouraging them of what I feel the Lord showed me for the church. And so as I'm encouraging them, all of a sudden, you know, I see, you know, God doing something through their ministry and through their youth and through their young adults and their worship team and all this. And then I think, as I'm giving this word, I think to myself, whoa, a ministry school would be awesome. It would be awesome if they had like a school of ministry. And then I said, and I see God doing a ministry school, and I felt like the Lord was encouraging that he's going to do a ministry school, you know, through you. And all of a sudden I hear the Lord say, I didn't say that. And as I sat down, again I had, I didn't say that. And the pastor comes up and says, oh, Gary, thank you so much for your word. And again, I had this deep conviction. I didn't say that. And you know, we in films they showed that, you know, little angel, little devil. Well, I had both angels on either side. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I got in the car and I get this. I didn't say that. So I got home, decided to take a nap, and I couldn't sleep because I kept having this thing of, I didn't say that. And everything came down to this, and I can see a ministry school. I think, God, you didn't say that. I said that. And so I was so deeply convicted. And so that afternoon, I rang up the pastor and said, hey, can we come and see you? And so we went to see him, and we sat down in his office. He said, hey, guys, thank you so much for your ministry this morning. It really spoke into, you know, the church. And And I said, yeah, about that. Can I just confess? You know, we don't need the partition with you and the dog collar, but can I just confess that the whole word about the school of ministry, I added that in. It's like the cayenne pepper. And he's like, oh, wow, really? He said, help me understand what you mean. I said, well, you know, I my heart for you was there. He said, oh, okay, yeah. He said, there's nothing wrong with that, but let me tell you something. He said, you see, there's two words that we can give. And we see this in scripture. Paul, in his letter, says, this is my heart for you. And then in other parts, he says, you know, this is the word of the Lord for you. Or the Lord would say this to you. And so he said, Gary, both are valid, but you have to frame them up in the package you're delivering them. Because if it's a word from your heart, then say, this is a word from our heart from you. Or if it's a word from the Lord, if God is speaking clearly to you about the person, then say, this is what I feel the Lord is saying to you. And so both are valid, but we have to watch that opinion isn't in either, but opportunity is. Yeah? Am I speaking to somebody? Because you might have a heart. You know, you might see someone and think, oh, you're single. My heart for it is you get married. But don't go up to them and say, I feel like the Lord's saying you and you. When you're not. Because we don't go there. And so some framework that we use, let me use the dark color for our friend there, is I call this. Everyone say HMD. This is what we stay away from, yeah? And this is what we stay away from. Hatch, match, and dispatch. You don't speak into babies, you don't speak into marriages, and you don't speak into funerals. Yeah? I just feel like the Lord's going to kill you in the next 24 hours. I hope that encourages you. Yeah, we just don't go there. In the match area, I don't know how many people before, I got married at 25, and from the ripe old age of 18, of coming of age, from 18 to 25, I had people come up to me like, oh, dude, I can see a bit of a connection there. I said, well, I can't. Hey, I can just see this, like, the Lord's speaking over you, princess. You know, literally, I had an 18-month relationship because I took that word from someone I trusted. And didn't realize that it was actually a word the Lord was wanting to share with me, but it was way out of time. Because I did eventually marry a princess called Sarah. Yeah? And so we have to watch, guys, in this area of matching. And then hatching. Me and Sarah were married for 8 years before our Tobias came. And how many people came up and said, I can see a baby. Yeah, thank you. And you see, all good intents and purposes, but how much is a discouragement to us, not an encouragement, when we've been trying for 8 years? Yeah? Until someone came up and they didn't talk about the baby, they said, there's actually, the Lord's showing us, or showing me, that there's actually an issue with your pelvis, and the Lord says that if you go to an osteopath, you'll find out what the issue is. Sarah went to an osteopath, and then 3 weeks we're pregnant. Didn't speak into the hatch, but literally spoke into the situation to the word knowledge. Yeah? So stay away from hatch, match, and dispatch. And the other one as well is direction and correction. Let me teach you something. Are we getting something? Does this make any sense? So how many people know Ephesians 4? It says this God has given what? Some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers. APET. Everyone do this. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. You see, the two foundational fingers that you have are these two. This is what you use every day. The Bible says the church is built on the apostles and prophets. Foundational. So this is the apostle. Gets to move in every other gift as the Lord graces him. The prophet, he speaks to or points to the revelation of who you are. The evangelist, this finger outreaches further than all the others. The pastor, he's married to the church. or the shepherd is connected to his heart. And then the last one's the teacher, because this finger is the only one that can get right in surgery. Yeah? So this is the fivefold. And so the question is, when it comes to direction and corrections, you see, God hasn't called us to be prophets who direct and correct, because out of them five, who carries the shepherd's rod? It is up to the shepherd to direct and correct the sheep, not the prophet. Therefore, out of the prophetic never comes direction and correction. If I feel a direction, even being here tonight, if I felt something directional for this house, I wouldn't stand here and say, the Lord is taking you in this direction. I'd come to Randall and say, this is Randall, this is what I feel. And I would submit it to the shepherd. Even though we can feel as prophets that we are high, no, we're not in the foundation. Yeah? And so this is the beautiful thing, is there's never direction and there's never correction in the prophetic. That always comes to the pastor. Because they know how to handle the rod. Prophets beat the sheep, amen? Pastors know how to give them a little tap. I say to people, I'm in a precarious situation of leading a church and being a prophet. I don't know why either. So that's the mystery. That's what Paul talks about, the mysteries, yeah? It's a mystery. And so I want to encourage you, always never go into direction of correction, because that's not in the prophetic. But in everything, guys, this is the foundation. If we can say this word together, this is the foundation, is love. You see, and this is where it went. We have 9 gifts of the Spirit, yeah? 9 gifts of the Spirit? How many fruits? Galatians, we have 9 fruits of the Spirit. You see, for 9 gifts, there's 9 fruits. They're fruits of the Spirit, and they're gifts of the Spirit. In Scripture, we see that the Holy Spirit was exemplified in Acts as fire, but how else did he manifest on earth? As a dove. When Jesus was baptized, it says the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. A dove, in its wings, has 9 major bones in one wing and 9 major bones in the other. And so to take flight, they need both wings. You see, for me, I always say this, when the gifts of the Spirit manifest, the fruits of the Spirit must manifest. If someone is exercising the gifts of the Spirit without the fruit of the Spirit, then question the gift. Because the last time that I saw a one-winged bird, it wasn't flying. It was just flapping around. And there's a lot of flapping going on in churches sometimes. And so we have the balance of the Spirit of the gifts and the Spirit of the fruits. So for me, is when prophecy is manifest, and you'll see this demonstrated tonight, when prophecy manifests, love manifests. It can't help itself. The atmosphere of love manifests. And so I want to encourage you, Paul said, in everything we do, let it be done by love. If in pursuing everything, it says, you know, desire the spiritual. Pursue love that also you may prophesy. And so that pursuit of love brings me out of that place. If I love people, then that gift of prophecy is just going to manifest. The danger is when I try and manifest the gift of prophecy or use the gift of prophecy without being in love. If you want to be effective and accurate and life-changing, don't pursue the gift, pursue the fruit. Pursue love, and all that things will just manifest. Amen? Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Awesome.